from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
Batting seventh and warming up in the bullpen, the catcher, number 12, A.J. Pierzynski.
A.J. Pierzynski.
Now Pierzynski with two outs, top of the ninth. Well hit, right field. White Sox take the lead. A.J. Pierzynski says, take that, Cubs fans.
MLB veteran for 19 seasons.
You play against A.J., you hate him. You hate him. You want to kill him. But you play with him, you hate a little less.
There's only one guy I can tell you that knows every rule in the book, and that's A.J. Pierzynski.
Two-time American League All-Star.
I always tell people I'm famous for two things in Chicago, striking out and getting punched in the face.
Barrett punched Pierzynski right in the grill.
2005 World Series champion.
It's a gunner and a White Sox winner.
This place is electric.
Analyst for Fox Sports.
The only thing I remember about Bozo was did you ever get to do the grand prize? I could see you being big in the grand prize game.
Yeah, my motor skills are my finest attribute.
But I could see you leaning over and kind of cheating a little bit.
And they wouldn't have said anything.
Yeah, they wouldn't have said anything.
They would have been like, oh, good job.
Host of the Foul Territory Podcast.
Chris Getz.
What's a successful 2024 for you as the GM, your first year?
I mean, I think we've got to earn the trust of our fans back. We've got to establish some credibility.
Hold on, before you dig in, didn't Rick say that last year?
And they want the curtain call, and they got it from their catcher, A.J. Pierzynski.
A.J. Pierzynski with Parkins and Spiegel on 670 The Score.
We love talking to A.J. Pierzynski of Foul Territory. White Sox legend with us on the Circa Sports Illinois Hotline. Download the Circa Sports app today. What's up, A.J.?
How y'all doing?
We're doing well, man. How do you think White Sox fans... What'd you say?
I was going to say, you guys are doing better than the White Sox are, then.
Oh, yeah, it's not hard, dude. They're 50 games under 500, man. It's like...
Did you ever think you'd say that about a team in Chicago?
No.
We've seen some bad ones, but this is pretty historic.
I mean, we knew this thing was going to be bad, but, like, I mean, what's the worst thing about it as you're watching it? It's hard to dissect. What's the worst thing?
I don't know. What's the worst thing? I mean, where do you even start? I mean... The 50 games under 500. Should we start with that? Yeah. I don't know. What's worse than that? I mean,
the manager, the manager, the GM, or the players. You can pick one to discuss.
Well, I mean, I never want to blame. It's hard to always, as a former player, you know, and I know some of the players. It's hard to blame the players. I mean, listen, they're big league players. They still have skills. That's why they're there. Was the team constructed as a 100 win team? No, but. I mean, they're still big league players, and the thing is, you know, you look at it and you say, who's having an above average year, or even an average big league year? There's really not anybody. Tommy Pham's the only guy in the starting lineup. I guess Robert, but he missed forever. But Tommy Pham has been there, you know, even he missed a month. That has over 700 OPS. So, what are we? You know, what's the criteria to judge who? What's a good year? You know what I'm saying? So. I mean, the pitching's been better than expected. I think Crozier and Fetty have been good. I think Cannon's come up down to the staff. But other than that, the hitters haven't performed. The bullpen's, you know. Listen, before the year started, you guys know this. You looked at the team. You had young starting pitching, young lineup, bad bullpen, more than likely. That equals 100 losses. Now, I didn't think they'd be almost at 100 before we get to August, but they're on their way.
What do you do with the fact, I mean, Dylan Cease, less than an hour ago, completed a no-hitter. Ronaldo Lopez is an all-star. Chris Sale could win a Cy Young Award. They're about to trade Garrett Crochet, it seems like. That's an all-world rotation if they were all here, but soon none of them are going to be here.
Yeah, but you can't look at it like that because they're not going to spend the money to keep them. So, yeah, it'd be great if you had Sale. I mean, Sale, yeah, listen, the White Sox were never going to give him the contract that the Red Sox gave him. So that's unrealistic. The White Sox made a great move that they thought would help the organization for the next few years with Cease. And Cease has been up and down. Listen, I'm super happy Cease did a no-hitter because he's a great guy. I talked to him funny. And I was mad he didn't throw out the game I was broadcasting when he got to the last out of the ninth and gave up the hit to the ride. So I'm happy, very happy for Dylan. But, you know, some of the pieces they got back, that's what they're looking for. They're not looking for this year or even next year. They're looking at 2 or 3 years down the road, and they're trying to find pieces to develop. And that's why he trades Cease. And where Lopez was a free agent, they traded him and Giolito last year. So, I mean, I get what they're trying to do. It's just at some point you want to see some success on the field.
So where are you in this moment, AJ? Because, like, I don't want to trade Crochet because I really like that dude. And I think he's got ace moxie. He's got, like, ace characteristics on top of the pitching. But I see the wisdom in doing it because of how far they are away and how the system has changed. Rebuilds take longer. Where are you on Crochet in trading him?
I mean, listen, what does he have? How many more years of control? Does he have 2 more years?
Two more.
Right of control?
Yeah, two more years. And reports today say he wants a contract extension upon the trade.
Well, I mean, of course he wants a contract extension. I mean, that's kind of a way to control where you go, right? Mm-hmm. Why would the White Sox not give him a contract extension? They believe he's going to be healthy and he's going to be the ace of their staff. Why would they not give it to him? That would be the question you want to be asking. Why would if the White Sox sends him and said, hey, we'll make you a fair contract for 6 or 7 years. Now, I know they don't go past 4 years, but they did with John Danks after they told Burley they wouldn't go 5 years and they signed John Danks a 5-year contract. You know, that why would he not want to stay? Then why do you trade him? If he's willing to accept the contract extension, you're the team that knows him the best. Why would you not offer him that same deal? If you can get a house for him, if you can get, you know, 4 or 5 future major league impact and, you know, players that are going to contribute, then, I mean, you almost have to make that move. But, gosh, it'd be hard to see him go, just like it'd be hard to see Robert go, because these are guys that can help you not only this year, but if you sign them to longer-term deals, they can help you in the future.
But I mean, you know that, like you said, right? They weren't going to give Sale that deal. They're not going to give these guys this deal. So it leads a lot of White Sox fans to just say, "So what the hell's the point of the entire exercise?"
Yeah, well, I don't know. You're gonna have to talk to Chris Getz. You're gonna talk to Jerry Reinsdorf about that. I don't know. I don't know that much about it. I mean, I just know looking out from the outside looking in and what the fans are talking about, and as a White Sox fan, what I see. The point is you're trying to build the best team you can, and you know. We had Dan O'Dowd the other day on our foul territory, and he's like, you need aircraft carriers. You need guys on your team that are aircraft carriers, and they can carry the load and help you in more than one way. And I think Crochet can be one of those guys if he's healthy, and I think Luis Robert can be one of those guys if he just continues to grow as a player. Now is Colson Montgomery down there, Noah Schultz. I mean, a lot of these guys down in double and triple A, are these guys going to be guys that can contribute and help you win? We don't know that because we haven't seen them, but you know, you need more than just those two guys in order to try to compete. Yes, they're in the AL Central, but the AL Central is better. I think the Royals have now figured out, hey, we're getting a new stadium. We're going to spend money. The Guardians always seem to figure it out. The Twins have always been good since they moved into their new stadium. So I think there's a lot more questions than there are answers. I think the Tigers are going to be better, too, because I think, you know, at some point the Tiger fans are going to get sick of and Illich family is going to have to spend some money. So it's going to be tougher, I think, than it has been in years past, but what's the direction? What's the plan? If you're going full rebuild, then you almost have to sell Crochet and Robert.
If that's what you're doing, you're probably right. He's AJ Pierzynski from Foul Territory and from Fox Sports. You and Jason Benetti, we heard the cut there. You were at Wrigley last weekend. You've seen the Cubs a bunch. Are they hurting in part because they don't have any aircraft carriers, to use your Dan O'Dowd? It feels like they could use a superstar.
Yeah.
They don't have one.
Yeah.
Yeah? Tell us.
Yeah. All right. Well, first of all, let me say this. I'm doing the White Sox Mariners game on Saturday. So that's going to be interesting to see how that goes. I've had the Cubs a few times this year, and talked to enough people, Jesse Rogers and some of the reporters that are on the Cubs beat. And the thing is, you ask them, they don't hit and they don't have power. They don't have power in a lot of positions where in the big leagues you need power. And Bellinger is brought back, but he hasn't hit the same as he did last year. Swanson hasn't hit really since he's been over there. Catcher has been a black hole for him the last couple of years. Michael Bush has done a nice job, but their third baseman hasn't really been. I mean, Morel hits a home run or strikes out. I mean, that's kind of where he's at right now. Their outfield, Ian Happ, hasn't had a great year. Suzuki's been up and down, been hurt a lot. So it's, yeah, you know what you said, they don't have enough aircraft carriers. They just don't have enough power. They don't have enough power, and they don't have enough offense to compete with the Brewers team that everyone says, how are they doing it? Well, they got some really good players. I know Yelich is out, but Contreras, Yelich, some of the other guys they brought in, Ortiz at third base, and you know, Willy Adames, they've done a nice job of piecing it together, and that's why the Brewers are in first place.
Cubs have been pressing, is what they've admitted to every once in a while, and it's certainly been awful for more than 2 months now offensively. Is that a real thing? Were you ever on a team, AJ, where you're like, oh, man, we're not good enough on offense, and then everybody starts pressing and it stays bad because you're putting pressure on yourself? Is that real or not?
I mean, listen, we're competitive. If you make it to the major leagues, you're a competitive person, and you want to win, and you want to do great. And I never understood people like, oh, he got a contract, he doesn't want to play as hard. No. Like, I mean, I can only speak for myself, but when I signed a contract, I wanted to do more. And so pressing, yeah, there are pressing, because when you dig a hole and you're supposed to be a good team, the Cubs are supposed to be a pretty good team this year, yeah, you start pressing. If you're, I hate to single out Dansby Swanson, but if you're Dansby Swanson, you look up there, you're hitting .215, and it's almost August, yeah, you're like, man, this has been a rough year. I need to figure it out. I got 2 months to go. So, yeah, you just start trying to do more, and a lot of times less is more. So if you know, let's back it up. Instead of trying to get four hits every bat, let's try to have four good at-bats, or let's try to hit a ground ball to the shortstop or the second baseman or whatever it is, and take baby steps, and, you know, you might get a bloop hit and things take off. So, yeah, you do press a little bit, but I don't know. I've been on both sides of it, and, you know, it just sucks. When you're having a bad year, it's just miserable. Everything's miserable. The food, everything, the plane trips, the media, everything is just miserable because you're just like, gosh, how can I get out of this?
The food's even worse? That doesn't seem fair.
Of course. Food tastes bad. Food tastes much worse when you're not playing well. Trust me, if you're on the White Sox this year and you're 27-77,
yeah,
food don't taste very good.
Oh, man, that doesn't seem right.
It's too bad they have good food there, too.
Yeah, it's exactly. It's like the campfire milkshake.
Yeah. I know. I definitely got to get one of those on Saturday.
Yes, you do. We're talking to AJ Brzezinski from Foul Territory. How would you inject more offense into this sport?
Make strikeouts mean something to the hitters. I mean, that's it. Strikeouts don't matter because the analytics people say they don't matter. And they're actually, you know, if you talk to some analytics people, they'll say like, oh, if you strike out, it actually helps you more than hitting into a ground ball or, you know, flying out. They're like, oh, well, you know, strikeout, well, at least you got, you know, pitch count up and you fouled off a couple, and you, instead of like, you know, hitting a line drive, your first or second pitch, you know, you struck out, at least it took three pitches. So it's more valuable. If you want offense to go up, make strikeouts matter again. And that way it puts emphasis on putting the ball in play, puts emphasis on, you know, hitting and running, bunting, things like that. And the offense will go up because there'll be more guys on base, more guys focused on contact. Right now it's like everyone goes up there, even little guys, are like, oh, if I hit 20 homers, I'm going to get paid. But you get paid on your power, and you get paid on walking and power. So if you take strike three right down the middle, you know, it's 3-2 count. They're like, oh, well, at least you got six pitches instead of, you know, if I put it in play, something good might happen. Hey, maybe the infielder boots it or you know, it goes to a hole, and then we have a guy on base. You got to make strikeouts matter, and I don't know they ever will again.
Right. That's the obvious follow-up, right?
What a great answer, though. What a great direct answer, because all the different rules that get changed and then what you could do in the future, like we've been talking about, you know, tightening and regulating the strike zone. But as long as the strikeout is okay and it's strikeout or homer, and most people are fine with that, So would you do a rule that de-incentivizes strikeouts? That would be a fascinating thing. If, like, you strike out 120 times in a year, your salary...
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
goes down, like something crazy like that to incentivize it. AJ, it might be an interesting thought.
It would be, but it'll never happen because,
right?
You know, I'm never. I like home runs and I like, you know, bat flips and I like emotion and I'm not the old. I don't want people to see the old guy in the locker room. I'm not. I love emotion. I love guys celebrating and I love all that stuff. It's not going to change because people get paid off hitting home runs. You get paid off power. So until that changes and you incentivize a Luis Arraez or somebody like that that can hit 350, like Luis Arraez can hit 350 and win batting titles, and he's going to go to arbitration and be like, yeah, but you only hit 7 home runs, right? So he's not going to get paid what the guy who hits 210 but hits 30 homers, you know, has a higher OPS and has a higher WAR because, you know, they walk more and they hit a couple more home runs. But because Luis Arraez is a singles guy and a contact guy and he won't get paid as much. So that's why people swing the way they do. That's why pitchers pitch the way they pitch. Every guy's trying to strike everybody out because they get paid for velocity and they get paid for strikeouts.
Yeah. You can draw a straight line from Luis Arraez losing an arbitration to Pete Crow Armstrong not being a contact guy. There's a direct line there. AJ, it's 15 years since Mark Burley was perfect. Ramon Castro did a nice job that day. Any regrets not being behind the plate as we celebrate that anniversary again and again and again?
The only regret I have is actually, no. You know what? No. When it happened, I mean, I was so happy for Mark. Dude, listen, I was so happy for Ramon. I was so happy for Mark. It was just like the coolest thing because I was like, dang, I got to see a perfect game. And I had the best seat literally in the house. Now, listen, Mark is a good buddy of mine, and he rubbed it in my face the whole time. I mean, during the game, he's like, I'm going to throw a perfect game. You're not going to be catching. And I'm like, yeah, dude, but I hope you get this because this is going to be amazing. And he got it, and I was so happy for him. And then years down the road, obviously, Humber threw his, and I was able to catch it. And the first text message I got was from Mark Burley saying, congratulations, I'm so happy you got a perfect game. Like, so, yeah, I mean, of course, you know, as a competitor, you want to be out there, but I mean, there's been what? How many perfect games? 22, 23 in the history of the game, and I've been a part of two of them. You know, one watching, which was a lot less nerve-wracking than being actually in the one that I got to be a part of. So I was just honored to be there for Mark, and I'm so happy for Mark. And it's funny, I texted him yesterday and said, happy anniversary, and he texted me back for what? And I was like, dude. I was like, for you benching me, and he was like, oh, man, I had to look it up. And he's like, yeah. That's what happens when you're old and can't play anymore. You got to take days off or something. So, I mean, listen, it's great. And like I said, I'm so happy that Mark was able to do that. And just the whole career and just to be a small piece in what Mark Burley did was pretty awesome.
What would you say if I told you that not me, not you, but Matt Spiegel here was in the eighth row and he wept when Mark Burley completed the perfect game?
Well, that's pretty cool. I like that. Tears aren't a bad thing. And it was a big moment. I mean, to see that happen and with Hawk's call, and I'm sure obviously Speaks couldn't hear that from where he was, but to hear the call, like, you know, I mean, I've told the story before. People like don't believe it, but Early told me he was going to throw a perfect game before the game started. And he goes out and does, and he wouldn't let me out of the locker room because he said, you know, you have to stay in there for superstitious reasons and this and that. And every inning he'd come in and laugh at my face that I wasn't playing. So, I mean, I wept a little bit, too, because I was mad I couldn't be out on the field.
All right, because I contended that if Burley didn't cry, Spiegs might have been the only person who did. So you're saying you shed at least a tear.
Well, I mean, it might have been a tear of sweat when I was trying to be right. The first one out there so I could get in all the pictures since I wasn't on the field.
Smart.
It's just I was coming from a miserable place in life just like a year before that, AJ, and then like you have the good fortune to be sitting behind the plate to watch that. Like you said, only 24 of them all time. It's like it was special stuff that day. So you understand the tears. I appreciate the support, man, very much.
I guarantee you we're not the only person with tears that day.
There you go. We talk about Burley for the Hall of Fame. John Lester comes up too, and he was just in town doing games for Marquee. You don't have to make a statistical case for those guys, but I'm wondering how you think about the Hall of Fame. Like, do you have an instinct on it when it comes up to you now on foul territory? Do you think about it? And like, are Burley and Lester both Hall of Famers for you?
First of all, how did Lester do? Because I didn't hear him, but he actually called me and asked me some personal advice. So, how did John do?
that's cool that he called and asked. He could talk more next time, I think. I think he was underplaying it a little bit. There's more personality to him than we heard, I would say.
Yeah, but listen, that's good because then, you know, a lot of times you get guys that won't stop talking, right? So under-talking, I'm good with that. So I'm glad that he did it that way. That's because, you know, you get some guys that do it and they won't stop talking. So you're like, all right, someone needs to stop talking every once in a while. So I'm glad John did that. Listen, again, the Hall of Fame criteria has changed so much because, you know, listen, there's guys getting in now that I think 20, 30 years ago wouldn't have gotten in. And they're getting in now because the criteria has changed, whether it's war, whether it's this, whether it's that, whatever people are looking at. Do I think Mark Burley's a Hall of Famer? I mean, listen, he's one of the best teammates I've ever played with. He was a great pitcher for a long time. You know, he defined a generation there for, you know, 10 plus years. So, I mean, I thought that's the criteria you look for. Was he short on wins and short on ERA and all that? Sure, but he's also got a championship. He's got a perfect game. He's got a no-hitter, you know, through 200 innings every single year he was out there. So for me, I think he's definitely borderline trending up, you know, but I could say that make the same case for Paul Konerko. Now I've never dug into John Lester's stats as much as obviously I know Burley. I only played with John for half a year, but I mean, again, he was a dominant pitcher for a long, long time. You know, he's got World Series, he's got a no hitter. So again, what's the criteria? Cause it seems to me that every Hall of Fame voter in every year, the criteria changes. It changes to who they want to fit in. Like Andrew Jones, I played with Andrew Jones, right? If he gets in, how do you not put Torrey Hunter in? Because their numbers, if you hold their numbers side by side, yeah, Andrew has them in homers, but Torrey's got them in a lot of other things. You know, they're like, oh, Andrew won 10 gold gloves. Like, well, Torrey won 9. You know, are you going to hold that against him or whatever the numbers are? So it's hard when you start nitpicking, and it really comes down to who do the writers want to put in and who do they not.
AJ, it's always great talking to you, man. We appreciate you. Congrats again on the huge success of Foul Territory and your fun. Did you give Lester any advice, by the way?
Oh, no, I forgot to call him back, so that one's on me. I apologize. No, I texted him about something else, and he's like, hey, I'm doing some games on Marquee. Can you call me? And I was doing something. I said, yeah, I'll call you later, and I just completely zooted it. So I owe him a phone call. I'm glad to hear he did well, though. I'm going to shoot him a text and say, damn, I forgot. I'm sorry I missed it.
Hey, AJ, that's amazing. And this appearance was so good, I'm going to weep again, man. That's how good this was. It doesn't take much, dude.
Well, yeah. I thought you were going to weep because aren't the White Sox losing again? So I figured you – or have you gotten used to that by now?
No, we're pretty used to that.
Yeah, that's become familiar.
Thanks, man.
See you, man. That's AJ Pierzynski from Fox and Foul Territory. Always fun talking to that guy.
He knows I wasn't alone that day. But, yeah, not him.
Make strikeouts matter.
Yeah, dude.
Well, your idea would obviously never happen of, like, punishing guys with money.
Right, but – is there any way that we could make strikeouts matter more? Because he's right about that being the logic breakdown that kind of leads to everything else.
Right. If you hit a ground ball, it can be two outs. If you strike out, it's only one.
And not only that, as he's talking about, I'm thinking, also, you don't want a good a ground ball rate. You know, you don't want a high ground ball rate. That could hurt you in arbitration. So I bet there's guys that think a strikeout is better than a single out ground ball. That it's better because people don't care about it when it comes to arbitration and getting paid.
When I first came in here, the strikeouts, they mattered so much. And then Crooked Joe and Crooked Theo took the strikeouts away. They took them away. They said, no, you can't have those. We're going to make them matter again.
All right. Well, so we got one person who's on board. It's a campaign to bring back the value of the strikeout.
Make the strikeouts matter again. MSM.
We'll figure out.
I don't know if I like that line.
Yeah, I don't know if I like it.
There is a little truth to it.
We'll see if we can come up with some suggestions. You could submit yours via the text line. We also have a lottery prize to give away today. The Illinois Lottery is celebrating a huge milestone. It's 50th anniversary. That's 50 years of playing, winning, and generating funding for good causes in Illinois. To kick off the 50th celebration, our friends at the Illinois Lottery are giving you a bundle of scratch-off tickets, specially created to celebrate the lottery's 50th anniversary. When you hear this, just call 312-540-0670 and you can get the lottery prize pack. In addition to the ideas about making strikeouts matter, there's a story that broke today that is really massive for your beloved game. Next on the score.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands. thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.